This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Every day when you grab a coffee or an order online, you probably see it, that little extra card surcharge. And it might not seem like much, but across Australia, those fees add up to more than $1.2 billion, well, every year. Meanwhile, in countries from India to Brazil, real-time fee-free payments are already the norm. So why are we still stuck tapping our cards and paying for it? Well, joining us on Drive is Vibhu Arya, who's a PhD student at the University of Technology in Sydney. Vibhu, welcome to Drive.
Thank you.
Let's start with the pain point itself. Why are we still paying more than $1 billion, which is a lot of money, a year in card surcharges?
Essentially, the way this works is the small businesses where you buy a coffee or you go for a haircut, those small businesses need to pay their bank for them to enable you to accept payments. So whenever you pay for via a card, Visa, or Master issued by an XYZ bank, there is a certain fee, which is approximately 1.5 to 2%, which is collected by the bank or the payment service provider. And essentially, those small businesses then recoup those fees by surcharging the customers, which totals up to this $1.2 billion a year. That's the way it works. And given that there are no free lunches, somebody needs to pick up that tab. And currently, that tab's been picked up by small businesses who then pass it on to the customers.
Now, you've also looked at what is happening overseas to avoid these payments. What are they doing?
Right. So, what cards do, cards are basically a product where money moves from your bank account, the customer's bank account, and goes to the retailer's bank account. So it's a form factor where there are 16 digits, etc. And that's the way it's been done in Australia. Earlier it was physical cards, then it was, chip and pin, and then it's now become tap to pay. Whereas in other countries where credit cards didn't even appear, and they only transacted in cash, those countries have leapfrogged from cash to just 100% digital payments, and there's no card involved. What happens is that customers are able to pay directly from their bank account into the bank account of the small business, and that infrastructure is today available in Australia. It's called NPP, the New Payments Platform, and I think many of your listeners would have made an payment here and there when buying something off online marketplace or Facebook marketplace, or selling something and receiving a payment through your mobile number, etc. So that infrastructure today exists, but it's not available as a payment choice to customers or for merchants to accept that as a payment choice anywhere in Australia, or probably very few places. And other countries have been able to do this well because they had no other option. They were moving from cash to digital payments. And so they really leapfrogged. So this is really world-class new technology where you pull out your mobile phone, you scan a QR code, and magically the money moves from your bank account into the small business's bank account. And because there are no intermediaries involved, there are no surcharges to be paid. The small business, there's really no fee for them to be paid. It's clearly much, much cheaper than cards, because in cards, there are many more intermediaries involved. There is a card scheme, which is Visa, MasterCard, American Express. Then there are banks who issue those cards, or Visa XYZ bank card and a MasterCard XYZ bank card. And then those card holders earn points whenever they swipe or tap their card at a merchant establishment. So somebody needs to foot that bill of those. So there are multiple sort of entities involved in a card payment method, whereas in a bank payment, none of those intermediaries are there, and hence it's cheaper, it's fast, it's cheap, it's proven, it works in China, it works in India, it works in Brazil.
Vibhu, can I ask you, is this the same system that we use, for example, when we use Pay ID and we punch in someone's phone number or look them up as a contact and transfer money instantly that way? Is it essentially the same sort of concept, but just using a QR code instead of perhaps their phone number?
It is the same concept, you know. Exactly. So you, when you pay through a PID someone's mobile phone, all you need to do is, you know, small businesses will then start putting a QR code or even a mobile phone, and people just pull out their mobile phone. You know, mobile phone, entering someone's mobile phone is a little more, you know, there's a little more friction there. You ask somebody their phone number, you enter it, whereas scanning a QR code is fast, it's efficient. And, you know, people tap their phone. All they need to do is scan a QR code. So the same technology, those technology exists in Australia. You know, it's very, very successful in whichever country it's been implemented, whether it's India, China, Brazil. And, you know, people would argue, you know, those countries don't have a, you know, have no other choice but to do this. But let me give you examples from two countries, Hong Kong and Singapore, which are developed economies where everyone's carrying multiple cards in their pocket or on their phone. They have chosen to do this. So this is just an efficient way of doing it. It just moves.
If the system is available here, so the platform, NPP platform, is here, what is stopping businesses from saying, let's say I owned a cafe, what's stopping me from saying this is how I'm going to take payments? Is there anything stopping us, or is it just we're so used to the plastic card that we continue to tap and go?
Right. So the way this works is, you know, even in countries where this has existed and before this took off, the Reserve Bank of Australia or the central government had to play an important role in educating customers, educating small businesses, and more importantly, building the rules in place that mandated banks to offer this to small businesses, right? So essentially, if a Commonwealth Bank customer wants to pay an ANZ Bank customer, there have to be rules and protocols in place. The money needs to move instantly. So technically, all of that infrastructure exists today. But, you know, you won't want your bank to be holding that money for 24 hours before it can release it for a $5 coffee, etc. And likewise, you know, so those barriers are there in place today. And banks really have no incentive to push it because they have a very well-oiled mechanism and a business running, which is issuing cards, and people pay annual fee, they earn miles, they earn points on those cards. Those cards are tapped at small businesses. Those small businesses pay a certain fee to those banks. So it's got multiple stakeholders. It's working beautifully well. It's highly profitable. And so there is really no incentive for private banks to be laying, you know, what is essentially a public good. So whichever country this has taken off, the central government, the federal government, and the Reserve Bank of that country took it as a challenge that, you know, private markets have failed to deliver this as a public good, and we must step in. The technology is available. Everyone's carrying mobile phones in their pocket with, you know, 5G data connections. So it's today possible, which is not possible maybe 5-6 years back. And now there is a proven way, you know, there is a track record of this being so successful in so many countries. Basically, half the world today scans a QR code to pay. They don't even know what a card is. But in certain markets,
and then
you know,
come here and they think, oh my goodness, particularly to Melbourne, no train from the airport, and then we can't use our QR code to pay. I think we're a backwater.
Exactly, you know, and you know, it's simple for, you know, consumers to understand, you know, China's got great trains, we should perhaps get high-speed trains.
Conversation, Vibhu, we'll have that another day, but this is fascinating. I think it's something obviously the government needs to get involved with, and to stop paying $1.2 billion every year, I think that's probably why they like it.
Precisely, it's, you know, that's a lot of money. So I think consumers need to be generally aware that, you know, we need to have these world-class payment systems in our country. We have them. We just need to ensure they are being used. And to use it, you know, when private markets fail, the regulators and the federal government need to step in to ensure there are rules, protocols in place so that every stakeholder is doing their bit that this comes into play. Essentially, payments should be declared a public good because cash is almost dead. You know, almost 85% of all transactions happen through electronic payments, you know, bank transfers, cards, etc. Cash is really dying. It's really going away. And if it's going away, then you just can't have a monopoly of cards as the only way to pay, whether it's your tax, school fees, or for your coffee, right? And then these small businesses are so disadvantaged that they have no choice but to collect this as surcharge. And even if you ban these surcharges, you know, the shelf prices of those goods and coffees are going to go up.
Exactly.
And then what will happen is those customers...
Vibhu. Vibhu, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but fascinating stuff. And thank you so much for talking about it on Drive today.
Lovely speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Vibhu Arya, PhD student at the University of Technology, Sydney. There you go. We've got a solution to stop having to pay all those surcharges. We just need the government to do something about it.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.